Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Now is the perfect time to take control of your money. We are Cooley & Labus Financial Advisors, your local certified financial planners here to help you budget smarter, save more, and plan for your future.
Call today for your free consultation. Let's make your money work for you. Visit CooleyLabus.com today.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, guys, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. New week, new Monday. Bob and Dima, we're in the Southern Bank Corp studio here in Oak Grove, Mississippi, and we're very glad you're with us. Opening segment of our show today is going to be sponsored by Movie Star Restaurant. Great place to go for a wonderful buffet. Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. Sundays from 11 to 2. That's always a big one. And then Friday night's Movie Star is open. And just a great place to enjoy fresh Southern cooking, family-owned, family-operated, locally-owned and operated for 25 years. All right, a rough week for the Golden Eagles. They go 2-2 on the week. An odd week in college baseball. When I was looking this morning, six top 25 teams have losing weekend records. And the Golden Eagles, as we said, go 2-2. The RPI sits at 14. Eagles dropped in the poll, number 20 in this week's Baseball America, number 20 in the coaches' poll, number 22 in D1. So the Golden Eagles stay in or right around the top 20. And now look forward to a game tomorrow night against Ole Miss and then back at Pete Taylor Park this weekend. Coach Christian Ostrander joins us. And, Coach, let's start on Friday night. Now, that was a perfect night almost. 15 strikeouts, one walk. Graydon Harris, Kobe Allen just looked remarkable. Your team only gets 7 hits, but when you're pitching like that, that's plenty, and you win the game 8-1. So I know that Friday night is how you draw it up. That's how you want to see it played out, correct?
Oh, absolutely. It was, you know, both sides were clicking. I think we scored in 4 innings, you know, put a 2-spot in 4 different innings. That's always good to keep tacking on. And Graydon was dominant. Kobe was dominant. Then, you know, they just filled the zone up and challenged them with strikes. And their stuff was good enough to keep them off the board for the most part.
Yeah. Saturday kind of got back to what we've seen a little bit over the last couple of weekends where you overall you're pitching pretty well, 11 strikeouts, 3 walks Saturday. But, you know, you give up those crooked numbers, 2 back-to-back innings, and it just seems like that that those bad innings are kind of raising their head here over the last few weeks. And then the rest of the game, you know, you pitch pretty fluid.
Yeah, it was that the fifth inning, you know, Sundstrom was cruising, man. He was cruising through 4, looked great. Goes out there by his own admission, you know, he a lack focus, a moment of not focusing enough. He gets that walk. Then there's a fly ball to center field that Joey Urban would tell you right now he should have caught. He pulled up on it, and instead of coming to get it, and now you got first and second, and they put down a bunt that we have an out at the lead base at third, and we don't get our feet set properly, and we throw it away, and there you go. And, you know, that was just the catalyst of putting up a crooked number. Even though we came – had a double play ball, we didn't turn, and if we would have turned that, you know, it's might have been a one-run game still.
Right.
And so just didn't play clean baseball, didn't play clean baseball that inning and gave them some momentum.
But not really on Sundstrom, you know. I mean, really, I thought the throwing error at third base was crucial, and you're right, you kind of set the table when you don't make the catch in center field. So not all of that on your pitcher.
It's not, but it's, you know, complimentary baseball. I've said it before. Right. I mean, unfortunately, I'm saying a lot right now because that's what – when we're getting our tails beat, it's because we're not complimenting each other. We're not, you know, doing the little things that you need to do and do your job, take care of what you're supposed to take care of, and that's the frustrating part.
Yeah, and then I know, Sunday, you're not happy with 4 hit batters and 8 walks. How does that kind of thing happen, Coach? That's just baseball, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but you know, it's inexcusable. If you got to throw it in a teacup, throw it in a teacup. I don't, you know, I can't relate to that. I don't, you know, being a former pitcher and you know, myself, and you know, you can't ever complain about a strike zone. You can't complain about this and that. If you got to throw it, and you know, right over the heart of the plate, then do it. And you know, and but because that's our job. That's what a pitcher's job is to throw it over the white thing and you know, create action.
Awesome. Oz, I'm just curious, in your mind, what the biggest difference you saw in your team from Friday night's game to the prior two games was?
Not executing. I mean, just pretty simple. I mean, we executed on both avenues on Friday and handily won the game, and then Saturday we didn't. And, you know, we didn't do it from a defensive or pitching standpoint or offense, and so it's execution.
And I know you're wanting to see that execution be more consistent over, you know, the latter half of the season that you have left. I mean, how does that happen? How do you start to see that consistency go from game to game? I mean, I know I'm sure you don't expect them to be flawless every single night like they were almost on Friday, but, you know, it almost just seemed like a scale of like one extreme to the other on the last 2 days.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, very unfortunate and very frustrating indeed, but ultimately you got to perform. Mm-hmm. You got to perform and do your job, and you know, and hold yourself accountable, and you know, for you, whether it's like I said, to come in and get three outs, six outs, whether it's to really dig in and get a quality at bat, whatever that time calls for, you know, you just got to perform, and you know, there's a lot of variables that go into that. You're trying to perform, but the other team's trying to keep you from performing,
right?
And so ultimately, it just comes down to that.
How big do you think that, since you guys still really haven't found your DH yet, the guy that's going to step up. I mean, how big has that been for you guys, just to not being able to find that guy so far throughout the year?
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, I feel like, you know, we're you got a seven-man lineup up there sometimes. Mm. We got two spots that aren't producing a whole lot. I mean, that's just calling it spade a spade. It's true. And, you know, and guys have had opportunities and multiple, and, you know, and that's it's unfortunate. You know, we didn't forecast this. You know, you try to prepare for it, but ultimately it comes down to performing again, and somebody you're going in there and saying, hey, I'm going to calm this storm in this spot. All right, I'm going to calm the storm in this spot, whether it's at the, you know, in the lineup, whether it's out of the bullpen or whatever it is. You just need some guys to step up and perform.
Do you feel like that opposing teams are kind of like pitching around your 1-4 batters and maybe trying to, you know, have that break in that part, what you're saying, of those two spots that haven't produced like you want to?
I would if I was them. I certainly would. I mean, you know, you kind of try to navigate lineups. So, yeah, I think so. It definitely shortens that lineup out.
Coach, I've talked to other coaches through the years, and they say there really is nothing you can put your finger on when things are going good, when things are going bad in general, speaking in general, like when hitting disappears and comes back. So with that in mind, what was the message to your ball team this weekend before you guys came back home?
Well, I didn't get to speak to them very much since I didn't get to finish the game on the field on Sunday. So we're gonna have a, you know, good conversation today here at practice and stuff, but you know, my message is pretty simple. I mean, we've, you know, the first third of the season, we've proven what our capabilities are. It was really, really, you know, high quality baseball. The middle third of the season, we proved how vulnerable we are and how average we can be if we don't play the game the right way. So, you know, the last third of the season, it's up to them to decide, you know, which one do we want to be? You know, which one are we? You know, is it the first third? Is it the middle third? I mean, you know, let's figure that out. So, but, you know, when adversity hits, man, it takes toughness and resiliency, and it takes alphas to help get out of it. And unfortunately right now, we haven't seen enough of that to pull it out all the way. We've seen glimpses of it, but there's still more work to go.
Coach, it's interesting you said you couldn't talk to your team much. When a coach is ejected from a game, what is the policy? In other words, where did you have to go, and what did you have to do after that yesterday?
I went and hung out with Rob, our bus driver, on the bus, and enjoyed that time. So got, you know, and watched the game or listened to it as much as I could. So yeah, as part of it, you got to leave, and so I didn't. Obviously, if I didn't do that in a timely manner, I would have had another game suspension. So I didn't want that to happen.
Kind of take us through, to the degree you're willing to talk to us, about exactly what occurred, Coach, because it was so unusual to see that happen to you.
Yeah, just frustrations. You know, I'm not going to lie to you, frustrations with what we were doing and then frustrations with some of the things we couldn't control, which was the, you know, the zone and energy, passion, whatever, you know, spark, I think sometimes is good for that. But I also felt like the umpire was, you know, there were some calls that I'm going to trust my catcher, right? When we have a signal he gives us when, you know, by touching a certain piece of equipment, when it was a strike or it wasn't a strike, and he gave it to us again. And I'm barking, asking, you know, where was that? Da, da, da. And I saw him point down, and that's when I kind of lost my mind because I can see up and down from my angle. So, you know, went there. So anyway, I'm not pleased with it, but it's part of the game, and I'm not pleased with my conduct and things, but I'm going to fight for my guys.
I think you were taking up for your guys, Coach Oz. I think that's exactly what you were doing.
Well, I think it's important to note that it is rare to see that from Oz.
Oh,
you know,
that's
rare. I think that is actually a good
thing. On a bright note, Coach, going back years ago, I remember one night Scott got ejected and he pulled a hamstring. You didn't do that, did you? Your hamstrings are okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
We'll continue our conversation with Coach Christian Ostrander right after the break. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, all the guys out at Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 send their regards. Invite you to come see them for premium Goodyear tire products and work on your car or your truck, whatever you need. Matt Warren and the guys out there can take care of it. Family operated since 1985, Eagle Tire West and Eagle Tire. Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss baseball supporters. Talking to baseball coach Christian Ostrander. Coach, we were talking with you off air. You know, I think it's the red hot start to the season, 15-2, that perhaps magnifies more, you know, the last 18 games. I mean, the team has won 10 of its last 18 games. But the 15-2 start set expectations just sky high, and the fair assessment that perhaps the current situation is a little more magnified than normal by the start.
I don't think there's any doubt of that. I think, but rightfully so, right? I mean, you go and you conquer what they did with that schedule, and it shows what the capabilities are. Mm-hmm. And but is it realistic to think that you keep doing that over and over and over again in a game that's, you know, built around so much adversity and failure? I mean, probably not, but, you know, but myself, you know, and our staff and our team, you know, the expectations are to be able to kind of wiggle out of it a little bit easier than we're showing. But, you know, it's just like one thing after another kind of rears its ugly head, whether it's a lack of offensive performance one game or lack of bullpen performance one game or lack of starting pitching. So we just got to get back to some complimentary baseball.
I think there is a lot of good news, though, for the 15-2 start, because you can point back to that. And like you're saying in the first segment, Oz, that you can point back to that and say, listen, guys, we know what our capability is. Like, we know that the last 3 weeks isn't our standard. And you know, but we got to execute those capabilities for the back half of the season. Doesn't mean that you have to go, you know, 17-0 or whatever, however many games there are left, but you have that capability inside of you.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's your story that you write, and that's why I enjoy using that, you know, the narrative of each game's a chapter and you're writing a story. You can always flip back to them and read something that you did, you know, that, hey, man, you know, we achieved this. Or you can even look back at the bad ones and say, you know, you can't get too ahead of yourself because this could happen and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it is. You know, what you do the season, the first 36 games, it tells a story, but the story's not over.
Right, and there's a lot of baseball left, right, Coach?
Oh yeah, it's a whole third of the season, and yeah. You know, so it's we got a chance to go out there and stack some up and play better quality baseball, and you know, 15 conference games. You got a chance to go and do whatever. I mean, whatever. We're not going to define it and put a number on them. I don't think that's fair. We just got to go and just take it one pitch, you know, one out, one inning at a time.
Well, positive notes too is Graydon Harris, and you looks like you've got a really good Friday guy now settled in. I think your Saturday starter has pitched really well, and Colby looks like Colby Allen again. And I know that makes everyone feel good.
Yeah, he sure is. I think and I felt this, you know, in our decision making to put him back. You know, the more he throws, the better he gets. You know, it seems, and he finds that rhythm and stuff. So, but he's. You know, we rode him like a mule last week on, you know, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. I think he threw two-plus innings each day. Right. And, you know, but that's how he's wired. So he's done a good job, and Graydon certainly has. And Sonny has his last, you know, three starts or four starts. You get into the five inning, getting into that fifth inning of, you know, pretty good baseball, and then some things just unravel a little bit, some of them self-inflicted, some not.
Do you view Crabtree on Sundays as like a starter or kind of like an opener to kind of get you through that game?
Opener, 100%. Okay. Yeah, he's kind of proven that metal that, you know, he has a hard time getting through, you know, too many innings and sure. As an opener. So, you know, I wish somebody would just scream to me that, hey, I'm that guy, I'm that answer. And, mm-hmm. and maybe we'll find that guy because, you know, we're going to – one thing I won't do is keep doing the same thing over and over again if it's not working.
Yeah. Right.
All right, so you got a challenging week ahead of you. You're playing a really hot Ole Miss team, swept LSU over the weekend, and then I think Texas State's a really solid ball club, Coach. So as you look ahead, you know, what'll be the message to the guys?
You know, it doesn't matter who you play. You know, that was kind of our mantra that first third of the season, just go play the game, you know, and stuff. And if we take care of ourselves and play the way we're capable of it. You know, it is what it is. You don't play to a scoreboard. You just got to go play the game and just try to play clean and try to play as efficient as you can. So it's going to be a tough week. There's no doubt. Ole Miss really good, obviously. And then Texas State, yeah, they can really bang it. And, you know, so we'll have to do a good job. And we'll have to be ready to match that.
Coach, go ahead.
I was just saying, I'm sure you're looking forward to going to Pearl tomorrow. Just
well, yeah,
an exciting adventure.
That was my next question, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish we were here, but it is what it is.
Yeah, Coach, you know, I think we discussed this maybe with you early in the year. You know, you got the deal worked out with Mississippi State home and home, which everybody thinks that's just wonderful. And you still have that, you know, home 1 year, Pearl, Oxford 1 year, Pearl. Do you anticipate maybe the possibility of one day getting out of that and doing the home and home with Ole Miss the same way you did with State?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, me and Coach Bianco's talked about it. And, you know, and if the hospitality or the conditions of, you know, Trustmark aren't, you know, deteriorate and it's not a good environment to play in or safe or whatever, that he would certainly be receptive doing that too.
Yeah, and we don't ever really ask you about this, but you know, State's kind of had hit a hard road here lately as well. But as USM, although USM is still playing above 500, Ole Miss seems to be kind of catching their stride right now. You got three Mississippi teams back in the top 25, and every time I see that, Coach, I have to pause for a second and think about really how remarkable that is when you consider the size of the state.
Well, it is. It's, you know, just credit to the program, to Southern Miss, to State Ole Miss. I mean, a lot of tradition in all these great programs. And, you know, it's very humbling and stuff. But you know, at the end of the day, you got to, you know, it's great for the recognition, but we got to go out there and we just got to go and try to stack up as many wins as we can.
Texas State, of course, big conference opponent as far as the standings implicate. Oz, just curious what you know about them. Seems like they hit the ball really well and have some good pitchers.
Yeah, they're going to be talented. Their offense is their game. They like to, you know, kind of hit it out of the ballpark. They're in San Marcos, is a very conducive place for balls to leave the ballpark. So, And yeah, I know they're going to have some good arms too. And haven't dug in there yet, really. I did catch a little bit of, watched some of their games the other night. But I, you know, pretty confident. You know, we know what to expect, and you know, and what we're going to have to go do.
Coach, thank you very much for your time. We always look forward to our conversations with you on Monday, and look forward to have you back on the Eagle Hour again next week.
All right. Thank you all.
All right. Coach Christian Ostrander, everybody. You know, that's the attitude you got to have. I mean, you know, we're really good the first third. We're a game above 500 the middle third. Guys, we got to get this turned around, get back to what we were doing early in the year.
No doubt. And the thing to me is just a little confusing about this. I think that's different from years past, right? Where, you know, the record itself is fine. 25-10, I'm okay with that. That's a good record.
Yeah.
It's the conference record that I'm just kind of looking at.
Yeah, you
puzzled.
Brought that up to me, you know, Saturday. I was shocked.
11 losses so far, 7 to conference teams, and then 2 to Nicholls in southeastern Louisiana. I mean, it's honestly inexplainable in some points, because, you know, if you'd have said 25-10, I said, okay, you know, they'd have probably lost one to UC Santa Barbara. They'd have lost a couple to, you know, the Oregon states and Mississippi states and stuff like that, and maybe a handful of conference games. But no, more than 80% of their losses have been to conference opponents in Nicholls and Southeastern. So that tells you right there, Bob, that that's a mental thing, right? Mm-hmm. That tells you right there. Do you think really that Southern Miss is worse than Nicholls or South? Of course not.
No.
So that just tells you that it's a mental thing. So what would take them out of that mental thing is some momentum. And I really hope they were able to get it this weekend at Louisiana. And Friday night, it looked like they were going to get it. And then like I said, it was just, and I tried to get them to say it, you know, or ask them about it. It was almost like the extreme end of a scale where Friday night was so dominant. And you were like, well, where has that team been? And then Saturday and Sunday, you're like, oh, well, that was the team we've been watching the past 3 weeks. So
right.
It's just like you just don't know what you're going to get each night, and they have to find a way to at least hone that in a little bit, where it doesn't have to be like Friday night every single night, but make it a little bit more consistent. They have to figure out a way to do that.
Consistency is the key word. How many conference losses?
7.
And 3 top 10 wins. Now, how does that make any sense?
Well, it at least should give people a lot of confidence that Southern Miss will – play well against the top 10, 25 opponents they have left on their schedule.
Maybe that's what we need. Stop the scheduling. Let's just find the 10 best teams in the country and play.
Well, they got a good one tomorrow night at Ole Miss. So.
Well, they do, and the Rebels seem to be hot here at a bad time for Southern Miss.
Yeah.
The Rebels had a really good weekend and really bounced back.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, at this point, you know, I'm looking at conference standings and stuff, and this weekend with Texas State's a really big weekend. When you look at the conference standings, Bob, I mean, you got – 5 teams with all with 7 losses, and you know Southern Miss really can't afford many more conference losses.
You got to get that number 2 spot going into Montgomery if you possibly can.
I agree.
All right, we'll be back. Softball had another good weekend. We got lots of good stuff to talk about as well.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Welcome back, everybody. DBAT sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. They're on Hardy Street. Great place for baseball, softball training. Check them out, DBAT. Also, I want to say hello to our good buddies at MCS Home Center. That's where you go for home repair, home remodeling, home construction. My wife and I were there a good bit over the weekend buying plants from the MCS Home Center Nursery, and they have some beautiful, healthy plants for your yard. So be sure you check it out. Full service home improvement center, MCS Home Center. Local folks eager to help you, 7329 Highway 98 West. Well, you know, Dima, looking back on that interview, I think Oz was really to the point, very honest with us, and I'm grateful that, you know, he'll speak to us so honestly, even when we have bad weekends.
Yeah, and I thought it was really interesting that he said, listen, we have weaknesses. And he said, listen, I would pitch around our lineup you know, if I were the opposing team. And it's just the truth. I mean, when you have, you know, your Urban, Gillespie, Morrison, and you can throw Russo in there, those four guys have been kind of the offense. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've seen Southern Miss being dominant, it's when your Seth Smiths, your Tucker Stockmans, your Dre Barretts, and your Ben Higdons all produced. And that's just not happening. And especially at the bottom of the lineup between your catcher and DH spot, you haven't been able to get any production from it. I mean, think about it last year, Bob. Tucker Stockman was batting 300-plus last year, and your DH was Joey Urban. That's a significant step down from what you have.
That's a huge shift.
Because there was no place to put Joey Urban in the outfield because you had Cook and Monastir and Pato. So, I don't think, like he said, we didn't foresee this to be this big of an issue. Mm-hmm. They knew it was going to be a step down, but I don't think they thought it was going to be this big of a step down.
And let's be honest, those three kids you just mentioned, you really missed those bats, and I think you could throw Ozzie Pratt in there as well, who was a pretty good clutch hitter for you.
Yeah, and he was in the nine hole.
Yeah, and you got those four bats out of the lineup, and as the season goes along, is it just me, or is the absence of those four young men becoming more and more obvious?
It elevated the rest of the lineup, right? So, like, your Russos and your Gillespies and all those players, they were elevated by the work of those four or five individuals because it put so much stress on opposing pitchers that, oh, I got to pitch around Jay Cook. Oh, I can't let Monastir hit a home run off of me. Oh, then here comes Russo. Oh, then here comes, you know. So, and then this year it's not like that. You're kind of like, all right, if I can get through my Urban, Morrison, Gillespie, Russo, those four players – then I can kind of honestly relax a little bit for the last half of the lineup. And it's nothing against it. That's just the case. That's just what's happened.
Yeah.
And I think it was interesting that he admitted it.
Yeah. And I'm like you, and I think he tended to agree with this as well. You know, just don't throw too many rocks at the pitching staff. They've had a few bad moments, but the pitching staff has carried this team through a lot of wins this year. And so you really can't start throwing them under the bus. The bottom line, in my estimation, is what you just mentioned, you got to have more consistent productivity in your batting lineup and provide more support for your pitching staff.
Right, but you need it 1 through 9. It's like it's one consistent thing to get it right. Yeah. It's one thing to get it from your Urban, Morrison, Gillespie, Russo four players, but your other five players have got to be at least consistent. I don't think anybody's asking them to be 15, 20 home run guys and batting 400. But they just got to be consistent threats because right now they're not.
No, you're right. Well, on a good note, softball, they win another weekend series. If I'm not mistaken, weren't all the games the same score?
Yeah, it was funny. 2-1, they lost 2-1, and then they won 1-0. Oh, so the first one was
not different. Not quite the
same. It's funny because we had Sandlin in here on Friday, and he was talking about how great offensive numbers that both teams – you know, showing nobody scored more than two runs in a game. But so I thought that was funny. But yeah, you know, they're sitting there 29-17. What a great year they've had. Yeah. They slipped in the conference standings down to third. They were second, but now they're third at a 10-5 with that one loss they did have. But they're on the road at Texas State this weekend. So the men get Texas State here and then the women get Texas State there, which in my head, why in the world would you schedule it like that? That just makes zero sense to me.
I will tell you this. I did get a text Saturday morning from Jake Sandlin, and he said, I told you guys what good hitting teams these were, and then we all produced a snoozer.
Well, they did. They really did. Yep.
So where is the baseball team now in regard to – I think at this point – everyone in the league is just going to concede the regular season to Coastal. They're just not going to lose a lot of games. But the Golden Eagles have got to get that number two spot, Demon.
Yeah, they're tied. They're in a five-way tie for third right now. Southern Miss is at 8-7, which is just unfathomable.
That's unbelievable.
It really is. They're one game above 500. It's unbelievable. I mean, you can't even explain it. 8-7. But here's the thing, that the three teams at the top of the standings with them, Texas State, South Alabama, and ULM, they all play them. They play all three of them in the next 3 weeks. Texas State here, South Alabama on the road, and then ULM here at home. So great chance for them to really lock up the two seed if they were to win all three of those series. Yeah. So I think that's doable. I think that should be expected. And I think you should honestly be expected to sweep at least two of them.
I think it's time to start sweeping
yes,
some series.
I think so too. Texas State this weekend will be a challenge, though. They're a really good ball club, kind of like I was talking with Oz about. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if I had to pick one that they don't sweep, I'd say this weekend. But South Alabama and ULM, you've got to find a way to sweep those two series. You are a better baseball program than both of those teams, and if you want to, you know, say to yourself that you are the best team in the Sun Belt, you got to show at least some dominance a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to make this point. I had someone say to me this morning, "Man, I can't believe that you know, they fell that much from 12 to 22. That would have never happened to an SEC team." Well, it did happen to Mississippi State.
Yeah, they dropped.
And look, I'm going to just tell you, Southern Miss baseball has no bigger fan than me. I think you know that. But they deserve to drop. I mean, they're playing like a top 10 baseball team.
No. Yeah. I mean, well, we were all shocked that they were in the top 10 last week. Correct. I mean, that's the first thing. And Oz even said it when he was on the program last week. He said, "I'm actually surprised by some of those rankings."
Yeah. Don't throw stones at D1 like this guy did this morning, or Baseball America, or the coaches poll. They've been giving Southern Miss a lot of respect. And despite the fact that they're 10-9 in the last 19 games, they remain in the top 20 of two of the three major baseball polls.
Yes, and we're going to have Patrick McGee on starting on Thursday, and he's
the other Patrick.
That's what we should call him, the other Patrick. We're going to get him on each week towards the end of the season. If you're familiar with his work on Buzzardry Podcast, which is since I don't think they've published a lot of those since Ben Milam went on to his great ventures, but he understands this stuff so well, Bob, and he comes out with a field of 64 projections and stuff like that, and last year he got 63 of 64 teams correct, so this is how good this guy is at all this stuff. So he's going to talk to us on Thursday about what Southern Miss has to do to keep themselves in the hosting contention, and then, you know, RPI and stuff for where they would be in a two-seed scenario if they weren't going to be able to get that host, because right now, you know, I remember when they were in that 15-2 run. I remember saying on this program, I said they've locked down a hosting spot provided they take care of business in the Sun Belt Conference. And so far, they have not taken care of business in the Sun Belt Conference. So now they've kind of worked themselves back onto the bubble line for hosting.
I think hosting is still a possibility, I think you got to get it turned around, and then I think you got to make a strong run in Montgomery.
Well, their RPI is 14, so that's pretty safe to host. But their conference. Their conference record has got to improve. They cannot. They're not going to be a 500 team in the Sun Belt and host. That's just not happening.
It shouldn't.
No, yeah, it shouldn't.
If the tournament were today,
no.
Now we're just speculating here. What would you see Southern Miss? What would you see their postseason destiny to be?
Two seed in Oxford.
I
hope you know it's happening. It's going to happen. As much as people don't want it to happen, it's going to happen. They're either coming here or we're going there. It's true.
Well, we'll get a little preview of that tomorrow night.
Yeah, we will.
Right. I will let people know that I really don't think Oz loves going to Pearl.
And nobody
does. I don't think anybody.
It's the worst.
I don't think anybody likes going up there anymore. Do you?
I'm not going tomorrow because it's in Pearl. If it was in Oxford, I would consider it.
It's time to move on from that. Yeah. It's time to play home and home with State and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Three perennial top 25 programs. Let's not be the Sun Belt Conference and not to put the two best teams against one another, Coastal and Southern Miss, not playing. When you got three perennial top 25 baseball programs in Mississippi, man, let's play home and home every year, all three.
I think there's no doubt, and I'm at the point where there's really no excuse for it not to happen. Like, I know that seems a bit far-fetched, like when I say that there's no excuse for it not to happen, but when you look at where some of these SEC teams are playing, like Alabama was at Jacksonville State. Like, if they could go to Jacksonville State, Ole Miss can come to Hattiesburg, Southern Miss can go to Oxford.
That's 100%.
Like, what are we doing?
That's 100% right. Hey, real quick, the ladies, postseason play looks possible for them, right?
In softball?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have to win the conference tournament. You know that.
Is it a one-bid league?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Just because, especially with Southern Miss's non-conference schedule being so poor.
I saw a score over the weekend kind of flash up at Louisiana. This is softball, had gotten beaten real bad, and I thought about the transfer portal, because if you'll remember, they were truly one of the dominant programs in America. Yep. Their coach leaves for a Power Four school, takes the entire roster with him, and Louisiana softball is a shadow of its own self.
And when we come back, Bob, commitment to Southern Miss basketball that
this is interesting
that runs
news.
Into my genes.
This is not interesting jeans, news. Not his blue jeans, his genetic
athleticism.
Genes. There we go. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Jewel Master sponsoring this segment of the program. That's where you go to sell your gold and jewelry. You won't get better money anywhere else. Marty Vick's been doing it longer than anyone else. He's better than anyone else, and he is fairer than anyone else. So if you're going to sell gold or silver, don't be fooled. Go to Jewel Masters, see what you get there, and then you'll know that I'm telling you the truth. And congratulations to Marty and Cindy. I believe that they had a son that was married here in the recent past. And congratulations to that absolutely wonderful, wonderful family. Genesis of Hattiesburg, speaking of good people, there are plenty of them there, too. They're the official auto dealer of our programs. Their sedans and SUVs are gorgeous. You'll see them all at their exclusive Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West. And want to remind you, too, about keeping up with your health. Take good care of yourself now. See your doctor. Get an annual physical. Eat right. Exercise. And if you run into health problems, be reassured that the experts at Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. We are very fortunate to have Forest General Hospital here. ForestHealth.org. Check them out. And any questions you may have, they'll have answers for you. Dima, you've got some unusual and I thought really exciting news.
Yeah, Southern Miss basketball. Well, basketball didn't, but a player committed to Southern Miss basketball by the name of Elliot Tulip. Now, if that name doesn't sound familiar, it's okay because it probably won't because he's a commit. He committed here from West Alabama, West Alabama's college. But this is where the story gets really cool because it really ties back to me, believe it or not. For those who don't know, I was homeschooled throughout all of my high school, okay? Through the homeschool, you know, community here in Hattiesburg, there's athletic opportunities through that community. So I played basketball in high school for the Hattiesburg Forerunners, which is the Hattiesburg homeschool basketball team. Played very well, you know, started from 9th grade all into 12th, all in varsity, stuff like that. 46 points on senior night, by the way.
Wow.
I just want to point that out. But anyways.
In one game.
One game. But so we would have teams we would play around the state. There were also homeschool teams. The Jackson Victors, PCA Paladins, which is in New Orleans. Tupelo would have a team. You know, Laurel has a team, the Nighthawks. But there was also a team in Meridian, the Meridian Flyers. And Elliot Tulip played on the Meridian Flyers in the homeschool basketball league, who I played against. And he was potentially the best shooter that I had ever seen. We would play against him. I mean, I'm telling you, Bob, when we would play the Meridian Flyers, the entire strategy against them was stop Elliot and then hope that no one else beats us. I mean, that was, we would have one guy on him the whole time and then basically double team him anywhere he went. And he probably still would score 30. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would be able to pull up from like well beyond the 3-point line, fading away with two guys on him and just drill it. And so congratulations to him. I checked with my friend Charles Williams, who runs the TSJW network, shout out his network, who kind of covers homeschool athletics around the state. And he is the first homeschool athlete in our league to commit to an FBS program.
Well, good for him.
Yes. And so I will try to effort him because I have his number and try to get him on the show soon because I think that'd be a great story. But it's just cool, you know, seeing, obviously playing against him. And then, you know, I follow him on Twitter and stuff, you know, just kind of trying to follow his career. And then I saw this morning committed to Southern Miss. And I was like, what?
Well, I think that's awesome. That's a great story.
It's really
cool. Let's get him on the show for sure.
Yeah. Now, of course, if Ladner wants to ask me to commit to Southern Miss, I probably couldn't run down the court.
Do you have any eligibility left?
Probably not.
Probably not. All right. I'm not going to let the today go without bringing this up. This past week was very exciting to Dima. And Dima's excitement got me to kind of looking around a little bit. I'm not going to say that I watched it, but I did learn that there were a lot of people as excited as you about the Masters Golf Tournament.
Oh, it was amazing. I will say, I think, last year's Sunday was better than this year's just because of Rory winning last year was obviously his first to get his Grand Slam, but yesterday was just as exciting, and of course he pulled it out in the end, and it was cool to see. But man, I watched almost every shot all weekend, all 4 days. You know, just I was putting together baby furniture and stuff, just watching the Masters, and then when Southern Miss was playing, I'd put Southern Miss on my big screen and have the Masters on my laptop. So you know, I just it was an amazing weekend. It's always the best sporting event of the year, in my opinion.
All right, explain this to me. It's the same guys will move on and play in a couple weeks at another major tournament.
This week, yeah.
Okay, they're phenomenal athletes. But what is it that makes the Masters so different? Because it's the same guys playing. Why is the Masters so different to you golf fans?
It's just the history and tradition of it. You know, for example, like the U.S. Open, it rotates in courses each year. You know, you might play one course 1 year, one course the other year. The Masters is always there. And it's at this course that you can't take photos at. You know, nobody can go in. It's just this, like, secret course. And you get in there for 1 week in a year and see all these amazing golfers go at it. And the sights, the greens, everything about it is just beautiful. And the tradition as far as, you know, whatever it is, the par three contest with the kids and the champions dinner, you know, that's so secret and private and all those things and how hard it is to get tickets. Cause you can go watch the U.S. Open. You can go on StubHub and get your ticket to U.S. Open, but to get the Masters ticket, I mean, you got to go through all these channels, hopefully have a friend, you know, all these things. So it's incredible. It's every year it never disappoints.
Did it calm your nerves in putting together all the baby furniture?
It really did. You know, hearing Jim Nance go, and now for the putt to win the match.
As Dima's trying to figure out where this last bolt goes.
Yeah, I was doing that a lot, Bob.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Daniel Stewart will join us, give us a breakdown analysis of pitching right now. And we're going to have a lot of good guests for you all week, so we hope you'll join us. Thanks for listening on a Monday. Hope you'll join us on Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss. To the top. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.